This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
He brought back!
First time I fell in love, woke up next to the girl. Escaped fast and far. But Anne has changed me. What I see in her is obvious. What she sees in me is... it's a little more puzzling.
1, 2, 3, 4...
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Dash, who is sitting in for Arvin. And as promised, yesterday we threw back to My Fair Lady, and it was because today we're reviewing Annette, so we're doing all musicals this week. Very sorry to everyone who just prefers straight-up spoken-through films. But Annette just dropped, and it was directed by Leos Carax. It stars Adam Driver and Marion Cotillard, and it's very strange.
So, you could tell a story about a stand-up comedian and an opera singer who fell in love, had a baby, found their marriage derailed along the way. You could do that, and it would be normal. But that is not what this film does, because that's the story, except it takes that and goes to some super weird places that involve, hallucinations, puppetry, songs, murder. Yeah, I mean, this is one film that I feel like I was so into it when I was watching, but I've come out with like, I felt like I was on a weird like mind trip and I can't remember half of it.
Yeah, same here. I mean, this is a very, very trippy movie, and you can't, it's one of those where you can't help but wonder what the French director, I mean, the fact that he's a French director probably adds another layer to it, you know, because they are very artistic. A lot of French directors, they like to make these kind of weird films that are very artistic and all of that. But this takes it to a whole different level. I think it's literally the weirdest movie I've seen in recent memory, and weirdest musical I've ever seen in my life. I mean, just to put things into perspective, at one point, Marion Cotillard's character is giving birth, and the characters around her, the doctors, and all sing "Breathe in, breathe out."
And that's one of the more normal scenes.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
That's not even that weird.
Exactly. Because there's another song that, you know, the lyrics sound cheesy, right? We love each other so much. Very cheesy, very simple, you know, but the execution is just unlike anything you've ever seen. It's the most bonkers romance, intimate scene. Like, let's just say during the song, like, characters are performing certain, you know, intimate acts while singing it, and they are completely in the nude. So it'll just blow your mind.
That is also still not the weirdest thing. That's the thing about Annette. Every time we think that we've said the weirdest thing,
yeah,
it has more in it. I do think it's worth saying, though, that while it was directed by Leos Carax, it was also actually written, and all the songs are written, by Ron Mail and Russell Mail of Sparks. Mm. They also came up with the story. And so it's very much a combination of things. I think it's important to mention the people who wrote the songs as well, because the songs themselves are strange. They are not really, like any musical, they are there to push the story forward. They're there sometimes to tell you what the characters are thinking and feeling. There's a lot of internal stuff that gets sung. But they're almost all in minor keys. They almost all live on recurring riffs and phrases. They're kind of simultaneously minimalist and maximalist. So the songs, I think, go a long way towards soundtracking the strangeness that is Annette.
Yeah, and, you know, I mentioned opera singer, and you know, Marion Cotillard is an opera singer in this film. She plays Anne, who is the singer, and her boyfriend and then husband, who's Henry McHenry, played by Adam Driver. He's a stand-up comedian, but So he sings as well. So the whole film, there's very little separation between singing for the stage and sung through scenes where people are communicating in song. People slip in and out of singing and speaking and shouting and performing without much of a line. In fact, the whole film begins with it being very clear that it's staged. And I think in many ways that's what the movie is. It's a sort of rumination on the line between real and staged, real and fake, life and things that we might watch for entertainment. But it makes those lines so unclear that you're often left sort of like wondering what it is that you're watching. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I really think that if you could let go of the desire to control what you understand, this film ends up being very rewarding.
Yes. And I think, you know, I'm suddenly reminded of this Roger Ebert quote from very long ago, where he said, you know, when it comes to film, what's more important is it's not what it's about, but how it's about it. And this movie, I think, perfectly encapsulates that, because I have no idea what, I mean, you know, besides like the basic, you know, perhaps general story, like I have absolutely no idea, right? Like it's completely, completely crazy. But at the same time, you are not so much thinking about what it is, but rather you're just enjoying this journey, because it's not boring. It's not the kind where, you know, it's this super think piece where you're just bored and sitting there, and you know, you only if you read like super long articles will you like enjoy it and then you want to go. It's not that, because it is very entertaining. Like it's very fast paced, loads of great songs, and things like that, and but yet it's, when it comes to the story and the characters and the subliminal messaging that they may or may not have included into the movie, you know, it's all of that is so difficult to figure out, but that's part of the fun, because the way it's executed, it just sucks you in. In fact, like I think the opening line of the film, you know, there's this, I think it was, whether it was Adam Driver's character or just a narrator, I think he says, you know, take one last breath, because you are not going to be able to let go until the end. And I think that is absolutely like spot on.
So I think it's important to say, you know, Sharmila, you made reference to the story earlier, and that really was it. The yes. fact that there is a couple, they fall in love, they have a child, and their relationship becomes strained. There is tragedy. There are strange sort of almost magical realism things that happen involving the child. And that's pretty much it. The story really is very bare. Not much, such as it is, happens. And I also think the movie is not actually interested in the story, in the same way that the movie is not interested in having its characters relate to one another. So most of the time with musicals, you have people singing to one another, or you have a back and forth, right? There's repartee within the song. Sometimes it moves us through months and years of a character's relationship, and then you come out and it's the next chapter. And the thing about Annette is that all the songs really live in isolation. You are told more often than you are shown about the strains in the relationship. You are told that there is a growing anger, for example, more than you are shown. And that's, again, a very strange thing, because it breaks the cardinal rule of, you know, show, don't tell. But the movie is like, no, I'm telling you, and I'm also showing you that this is not what I want you to care about. Instead, I want you to care about a puppet, or I want you to... to care about the fact that I'm on a boat. I've put these characters on a boat, and the waves aren't real, and the whole thing is a set, and this is fake. And yet, so I've read the word farce attached to the film, and I think that that's an important word to introduce at this point, because it is very farcical, but like most farce, it's also very sincere. It's a strange blend that way.
So Dash mentioned the We Love Each Other So Much song. And that's a great example of exactly what you just said, right? You don't actually think that these people love each other.
So much.
Except they keep telling you over and over again. And I think, again, that goes back to that. Yeah, it's farcical in that a lot of this is artifice. A lot of it is telling you one thing, showing you something else, while other things are simultaneously happening. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed how it takes the conventions that you associate with these things. For instance, his comedy act. Is anyone really thinking that's funny? It's not funny at all. His entire stand-up performance is not funny, except he keeps telling the audience to laugh, and they do. And so it takes these things that we think we know, whether it's musicals or opera or what comedy is, and then just kind of twists it and shows you a farcical version of it. And it does that with, I think, every layer, right? They also, the film also very much is about celebrity culture, and it stages these really, very fake looking paparazzi scenes of Henry McHenry and Anne. And it's obviously meant to be a send up of what it means to be famous, you know, of social media, of paparazzi. All these things play into this idea of, again, being on a sort of weird journey where, nothing is as it seems, and that's kind of okay.
Yes, I think nothing is as it seems. It's kind of okay. You may not understand a single thing that's going on, but somehow you kind of get the gist of the story as well. But I think what this film really does, right, it is a bit of a farce. It's very over-the-top artistic. Everything is very exaggerated. It's very theatrical. But unlike the film we reviewed yesterday, My Fair Lady, which was also theatrical, but that was not, you know, that's like just watching a regular stage play. This is really like next level hallucination, trippiness, plus the stage play and all of that. But I think what this film really highlights is that there is no limits to what the filmmaking. You know, you can explore so many different things. You can mess with the formula however you want. And like Lynn said, you know, the general rule of thumb is show, don't tell. But this film tells a lot. But they also show a lot of other things. And it's just, I think it's just this weird experiment that somehow, I think it worked to a certain extent.
Do you hear us trying to make sense of this? It's happening in real time. It's very fresh for us. We're talking about Annette, which is described as a musical romantic drama. I would add operatic farce to that as well. It's a lot of different things. It's directed by Leos Carax. It was formed from a screenplay and music by Ron Mayle and Russell Mayle. And perhaps most prominently, it stars Adam Driver as Henry McHenry and Marion Cotillard as Anne DiFranco. Let us know if you've seen Annette or if you plan to. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
Each other so much. We love each other so much. We're scoffing at logic. This wasn't the plan. We love each other so much.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Sharmila and Dash. Today, we are attempting to review, make sense of, figure out if we like Annette, which is a brand new drama, musical, opera thing that has just come out. So I did want to bring something up, and this is going to be part of a series I will call Things I Observed But Don't Know What to Make Of. And that is the fact that Adam Driver is playing. It's a tremendous performance. I don't think we've mentioned that, and we really can't say it enough. The film lives and dies, I think, on Adam Driver's dedication to the role, and he's so immensely watchable. But Adam Driver's playing a version of a character he's done before. You know, he's essentially singing Kylo Ren. And
I'm so glad I'm not the only one who thought that.
No. Marion Cotillard has previously played a famous singer, right? She's very well known for playing Edith Piaf. And it also stars the only other person that really features at all is Simon Helberg. And while, yes, Big Bang Theory, he also recently played an accompanist on Florence Foster Jenkins. So all these actors playing these roles in this film are all doing versions of characters that they've done elsewhere and in fairly recent memory. And I'm not sure what that is.
So I'm so glad you brought that up, because I kept thinking as I watched Adam Driver bulldoze his way through these scenes, and in a great way, he's so good in this film. I kept thinking this seems like the fullest realization of an Adam Driver I've seen before. The physicality of it, the brutality of what he brings to the role sometimes, the opaque quality of his expressions, but within which he manages to convey so much. But I didn't link it to the other characters. But you're right that then, look at it. Yeah, again, we are literally working this out now. It's a film about film also then, right? It's a film about, it's a version of a version of something we've seen before. It takes things we recognize and breaks it up into ways that now we don't recognize. I might love this film, guys. I might love it even more.
I think so, because I didn't know what to make of it at first. I know I enjoyed watching it, but I think the more we discuss, I'm starting to like it more and more. And I mean, I cannot talk about Adam Driver enough. He is one of my favorite actors. Like, I'm obsessed with Kylo Ren, my favorite Star Wars villain of all time. See, that's another controversial opinion. But, you know, I love everything he has done, you know, like even Marriage Story, Logan Lucky and all of that. But this, I mean, Adam Driver is someone who really gives it his all. But I feel like this movie, it's as if the director took his family hostage and demanded his soul as ransom. I don't know.
Knowing this movie, that might have happened.
Yeah, exactly. Because he really, really goes all out. And this over-exaggerated scenes on stage where he's this stand-up comedian, it sometimes makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable, because you know it's not funny, like what he's doing, but then the audience in the film is laughing because he's telling them to. And there's this one scene where he's tickling on stage, and it's this weird scene.
Yeah, you guys can't see us. We are all simultaneously cringing.
Yeah, so it's such a weird scene, and because there's this underlying darkness to it, they're just tickling, and that's how weird this film is. They're talking about tickling, but if you follow the story, there's also this level of darkness just because he's talking about tickling someone's feet and all of that. And I thought Adam Driver really, really like killed it.
You know what I find interesting about the film is that it's a guy's film, and I don't think that that's something people necessarily expect from a film with a name like Annette. You know, from a film that's a musical that is selling itself as a love story, but it is, and I don't think it's just down to Adam Driver's charisma, even though thank God he's there, because I don't know anyone else who could have done this, but I found it interesting that ultimately it was a man's movie. And that's not something I necessarily expected going into it.
I think it's a man's movie because the one thing it's trying to do that is clear, amongst all the other things that are not clear, is to make a commentary on the kind of world that we live in. Mm. And I think that for better or worse, a lot of these things that it's trying to talk, because the heart of the story is also about exploitation. It's about how people who have power exploit those who don't, and what that says about all of us, right? And I think that needed to be a man's story somehow. And I think that that's what the movie is trying to do. I remember while watching it, feeling a little disappointed at Marion Cotillard's relative non-importance in the film. That's not to say she doesn't do a great job, but I did start feeling at some point like, okay, so is this just a star vehicle for Adam Driver? But after it ended, I kind of realized that was what it had to be. Mm. It wasn't a sort of de-emphasizing of women. It's a very specific way of using that character.
Yeah, I think that's where where I'm at as well. I think like calling the film Annette and then completely making it about Adam Driver's character, I think all of those feels like calculated sort of decisions. Because the movie does, I think it is a man's movie in a commentary. It does like this. It touches on like this sort of male ego and how that can be the downfall of guys and you know, this toxic masculinity. And even like, you know, we talked about a puppet. Even that puppet baby thing that they give birth to. I think it's also, you know, why puppet? You know, like I feel perhaps it's more of like something that he feels in his head, you know, a puppet you can control. You know, so I sort of saw it that way, where, you know, he's losing grip on his life and things like that. And I do feel that it's an interesting way to really show how, you know, one man's ego and his, you know, the toxic masculinity and all of that can really sort of, you know, make someone really go down a very, very dark and ugly path. I didn't expect that from, you know, when I went into this movie.
And, you know, going back to that idea of disconnected songs and just things that happen out of nowhere, there's a whole Me Too sequence that happens right in the middle of the film and never gets commented on again. And that's just the kind of movie this is. We haven't actually talked about the puppet. I don't think that we can spend that much time on the puppet, but it's quite amazing that we've made it to like 18 minutes and not talked about the fact that one of the... There are very few characters in the film, that one of the main characters in the movie is played by an almost completely silent puppet.
And that looks like a puppet. It's not a puppet disguised to look like a human. It's a puppet.
It's an inhuman puppet. It's quite frightening. It's quite frightening, genuinely.
It's as if Chucky, you know, was just put into this. Yes. It really looks like Chucky. It's creepy.
I couldn't stop thinking about Chucky myself.
So I think we have to conclude with a very simple question, which is, did we like it?
Why do you ask this difficult question? I would highly recommend it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I liked it, but I'm so glad I watched it.
Yes, I think that's exactly where I stand as well. I don't think it's going to get nominated for an Oscar, because I, you know, most Oscar movies, they need a little bit of mainstream-ish touch to it as well. This is absolutely not. It's uninterested whether you care, whether you understand, whether you whatever. It's just like, okay, this is the director's vision, you know, come to life. I didn't love it, but I think it's definitely, I'm glad it was made, and I think everybody should check it out.
Yeah, so essentially that's where I land. I can't say that I liked it. I can't even say that I always enjoyed watching it, but I was constantly fascinated. And I think to go back to something you said earlier, Dash, I'm just glad it was made, because it is, I think, a full realization of somebody's creativity. And not in a homemade kind of way, not in a, I'm just going to experiment, but in a, this is my idea and I'm sticking to my guns. And then you have, from a very weird place, Annette. So we've been talking today about that very film. It is a musical, romantic, drama, opera, farce with Adam Driver, Marion Cotillard, Simon Helberg, and a puppet. It's called Annette. Let us know if you've watched it, if you plan to. What do you like musicals that do this? I can't think of any others that have. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.